Hello and welcome to the Shetland Resolve Calmcast. I'm Diane Taylor, advanced hypnotherapist, nervous system educator, and founder of Shetland Resolve. For more than 15 years, I've been working with people who struggle with anxiety, overwhelm, emotional exhaustion, and people-pleasing patterns. And something that comes up again and again is people who do understand the need for healthy boundaries and yet still find themselves unable to hold them when it matters most. So today I want to talk about why boundaries can feel so hard, even when you know that healthy boundaries matter. And why understanding alone often doesn't create the lasting change that we need. And why nervous system support might well be the missing piece entirely. And I think this is important because many people have spent years blaming themselves for something their nervous system has actually been trying to protect them from. That feeling that you're already exhausted, your week is already too full with commitments, and then your phone lights up or buzzes with one more request. And even though a pair to you immediately thinks, oh gosh, I really can't do this, you still sometimes see yourself typing, yeah, no problem. And then later comes the resentment, the exhaustion and the frustration with yourself. And maybe that familiar thought of why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this to myself? I think so many people know that feeling. You know you're overextended. You know that you're needing more space, more time for yourself. You know that you need stronger, healthier boundaries. And yet, when that crucial moment comes, your nervous system reacts faster than your conscious mind. Or you could maybe imagine also somebody sending a message saying, can we talk? I can certainly personally relate to this one. The immediate thought, not so much now, but in the past would have been, oh no, what's wrong? What have I done? And so for many people, I think that's the same. It's before the conversation's even happened, your body is already starting to react. Maybe your stomach tightens, your thoughts speed up, you begin rehearsing, explaining, scanning, trying to work out, are they upset with me? Have I done something wrong? What do they need from me? Or how do I fix this? And sometimes you don't even realise how much of your life has become organised around keeping connection with others safe, keeping other people comfortable, really always trying to avoid tension, avoiding other people's disappointment, avoiding their disapproval. Because when something becomes a long-term nervous system pattern, it really can begin feeling normal. I've worked with people who answer messages immediately, even when they're exhausted, because not replying feels too hard, like it maybe means some kind of disconnection. And people who stay on phone calls far longer than they wanted to be on them, knowing that they wanted to leave the call sooner. And gosh, I've done that myself too in the past, but I'm much better now at finding a reason to bring the conversation to a conclusion while still being kind. Or people who agree to family demands that leave them emotionally depleted for days afterwards. People who apologise constantly, even when they've done nothing wrong. So it's good to be somebody that can take responsibility for something and apologise if you need to, But we can get into a pattern of apologising when really we've done nothing wrong and there's nothing to apologise for. So if sorry is a word that you find you use an awful lot, that might be a clue that your nervous system isn't feeling safe with the idea of other people's disapproval or disappointment. Another one could be people who lend money that they really can't afford because saying no actually feels too uncomfortable. And I've worked with people who feel physically anxious before sending even a simple message saying, I can't manage that this week. And that's no because they're too sensitive, and it's certainly no because they're weak. I really want to emphasise that. It's because their nervous system genuinely experiences somebody else's disappointment or disapproval as unsafe. And often, these are incredibly thoughtful, empathic and capable people that still find themselves caught up in this loop. Many are the dependable one, the calm one, the helper, the one that everybody else can lean on. And for the outside, they may look like they're coping beautifully. But internally, there can be enormous tension, a nervous system constantly scanning, is everybody okay? Am I disappointing anybody? Have I upset anybody? Do I need to fix this? And that really is exhausting. And over time, it often creates an underlying resentment too. Not because somebody asked for something, but because you maybe disappeared for the equation again. I think that's important to understand. Resentment is often no any form of cruelty. It's accumulated self-abandonment. When we keep prioritising others' needs at the cost of our own needs, and it really doesn't work long term. And this is where many people can become confused about boundaries, because they really do know what they should do to have healthier boundaries. They certainly understand the concept of boundaries intellectually. But understanding boundaries and feeling safe enough within your own system internally to state and then hold one is no the same thing. For many people, the nervous system learned very early in life that keeping the peace is safer, that being the agreeable one is safer, that always explaining yourself is safer, that not upsetting anybody is safer. So now, even as an adult, a simple boundary might not feel simple internally at all. Inside your system, it might feel more like, I'm risking conflict, I'm risking rejection here, I'm risking being misunderstood, I'm risking disconnection. And when your nervous system experiences something as risky, then logic alone rarely changes it. And that's why insight by itself often isn't enough. Because the reaction is happening inside of you faster and deeper than conscious thought is. I also think many people avoid boundary work completely because they misunderstand what healthy boundaries actually are. They can imagine that it means becoming somehow cold or harsh or selfish, even confrontational. And if you're naturally empathic or caring, that can feel deeply uncomfortable. But healthy boundaries are usually much quieter than people imagine. It can simply sound like, I can't do that this week, or that doesn't work for me, or I need some time to think about it. I love that one, and I actually use it quite a lot myself. It certainly helps avoid you being bounced into saying yes to something that actually it's fairly reasonable for you to take some time to consider it. And when you buy yourself that bit of time to consider, you're more likely to respond in a way that's right for you. That might still mean saying yes, but it might also mean saying no. Another one can be, I'm going to hide off now. Or even just acknowledging and saying, I understand you're disappointed. So you're acknowledging the other person's experience, but you're still holding your position and your boundary. So it's keeping it simple, keeping it calm, and keeping it clear. And definitely without the long explanation afterwards. Because the more we explain, the more it suggests that we're open to being questioned about it and being persuaded to change our mind. We're not required to explain making a decision that's right for us. And we can do this without panic internally afterwards. Now, of course, to begin with, we can feel quite a lot of tension because we're doing something different. And it's so important to know that that tension that we're feeling doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong or that we're doing something unsafe. It's that we're doing something different and unfamiliar. And it's okay to say no or to set a boundary and to move away from replaying the conversation over and over for days afterwards. There's a way that the nervous system can begin to discover that somebody else's discomfort or disappointment or disapproval doesn't actually mean danger. And that changes everything. I think many people underestimate just how different life begins to feel when your boundaries become steadier. No perfect, none of us will ever do it perfectly, but just steadier. That there's often less of a feeling of urgency, less feeling of dread, certainly less resentment, and less emotional exhaustion. Crucially, more space to actually notice and meet your own needs. The capacity for more honesty in relationships and more clarity. And something else begins happening. You finally stop abandoning yourself so often in small everyday moments. You stop volunteering yourself automatically. You stop overriding exhaustion quite so quickly. And you stop carrying responsibility for everybody else's emotional state. Other people are allowed to feel disappointed or upset. And that's for them to manage and process. It doesn't need to be your responsibility. And the combination of all of that really creates an entirely different quality of life over time. Just imagine leaving a conversation without replaying every word afterwards. Imagine disappointing somebody without immediately feeling responsible for fixing their emotions and how they're feeling. Imagine recognising your own limits before complete exhaustion hits. Imagine being able to pause before automatically saying yes. Imagine remaining kind while still remaining connected to yourself and your own needs in a way that isn't selfish, but is really healthy. That's what many people are actually longing for. Healthy boundaries is not about dominance, it's not about aggression, it's not about becoming harder. It's just about more steadiness, more safety, more space, and more fairness to yourself. And this is why I've created a new deep hypnotherapy audio this month called Holding Boundaries Without Guilt. Because boundary work is definitely not just cognitive work, it is nervous system work. It's deeper than an intellectual understanding. And so the audio is designed to help your nervous system begin feeling steadier and safer while holding healthy boundaries. So that change becomes something your body can begin experiencing, not just something your mind understands intellectually. So it's not through force, it's not through pressure, but through repeated experiences that begin teaching the nervous system something new. That boundaries don't automatically mean danger, rejection, or disconnection. The audio is available in Scottish voice and Shetland dialect. And I would just like to say as well that if you haven't experienced hypnotherapy before, it's very safe. At no point do you lose control. And it's really just a form of relaxation with some beneficial suggestions that your deeper inner mind will be able to absorb in a way that feels safe and right for you. And also this month, inside the Calm Collective membership, we're exploring this theme, not just through information, but through ongoing experiential nervous system work. So we're working through it throughout the month using video teachings. There's a worksheet and there's the audio that I've just mentioned. And coming up is a live session. So it's not just about understanding the pattern intellectually, but actually practicing something different over time. Because lasting change usually comes through repetition, integration and practice, not just insight. And interestingly, once people begin recognising and holding boundaries more steadily, often the next question that begins emerging is, what do I actually need in my life? Rather than, what am I just coping with? And that's exactly what next month's podcast and membership theme will explore. Needs, not just coping. I think that's going to resonate deeply with many people too. So if boundaries make sense in your head, but they still feel difficult in your body, I really want you to know that you are not failing. Your nervous system might simply need a bit of support learning something new. You'll find the audio and the Calm Collective membership linked in the show notes. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd really encourage you to follow the podcast so you don't miss future episodes. And if somebody came to mind while you were listening to this, maybe somebody who you know struggles to say no, carries too much or disappears from the equation too often, then please do share this episode with them too. Because I think many people are quietly struggling with this exact pattern while believing that they should already be able to just do it. So until next time, Thank you so much for listening. Do go gently.